Radio MD. RadioMD.com.
Dr. Michael Fenster is a cardiologist, a gourmet chef, author, TV personality, and host of Code Delicious. Here's Dr. Mike.
Hello, Food Nation, Healthy Nation. Are you ready for a little culinary CPR? We have an incredible recipe. Thanks once again to the incomparable Chef Luca Paris. Chef Luca is a restaurateur of the highest order in Keene, New Hampshire, where he runs his restaurants. He's also a Food Network star. Unlike many of the folks you'll see on that television network, Chef Luca can actually cook, and he's sharing some of his wisdom once again with us today. Chef, thanks again for being on the show.
What's up, buddy? It's good to see to talk to you, and I'm really excited about today. We're going to talk some salmon and really get people thinking about farm-raised salmon again. It's going to be a shock for some people, but when I tell them
I want to jump right in here, because I got to tell you, you blew me away when I read the recipe, and it says grilled Faroe Island salmon. I was thinking, well, gosh, you know, I was in the Faroe Islands about 2 years ago. I had the good fortune to be able to travel there. But this has to be some kind of typo, because basically nobody even knows what a Faroe Island is, let alone where it is. So you got to give me the backstory here of how you got hooked up with this tiny little island that is like a throwback, where the descendants of the Vikings are hanging out in the middle of the North Atlantic.
This is why I fit you so well, because I mean, you're into all that, whether it's pirates, Vikings, this whole kind of feel of throwback to this different lifestyle. Well, this was you.
Well,
man.
you realize that Viking, one of the translations of the word Viking just means pirate. So anywhere you can pillage and plunder and get a good meal, you can count me in. You know, I'll get up there on the longboat and I'll row. You know,
I love it.
row right through the drive-thru there. Yeah,
and the for you listeners that don't know us really that well, I tell you all the time, I'm just ready to be your first mate on the next ship that sails, buddy. Just set it up.
In the kitchen, we have that pirate mantra for our listeners out there, which is take what you can, give nothing back.
Exactly. Well, let's go into the story about salmon. And I've owned restaurants for the last 20 years. And, you know, one of the things that's come across our way are the different, just like you have talked about, the different studies on this and healthy this, what's healthy, what's not, and then it changes and things change. But things come out about certain items that really change the way I can sell something to someone or feel comfortable about using it. We're going back at least 10 or 15, maybe 20 years. There were conversations about the way farm-raised salmon was being fed, how it was being raised, some of the priorities that they put towards raising the salmon. Was it making sure you got a great product or just making sure you had a product in abundance? And that really affected the conception of or the concept of I want to eat a farm-raised salmon. So you had these bad connotations to the word farm-raised when you talk about
salmon. And I want to jump in here, because you really bring out a very important point. Because this is one of the things, you know, that's sort of my message and that folks need to understand when they go to the market, they go to their fishmonger and they see salmon, you know, because of the changes that we implement through agribusiness, I think is probably the best term, you know, we change food pathways. So it's no longer, you know, Bob out there reeling a salmon in on his fishing rod, you know, from a river runs through it and, you know, fly fishing a salmon and putting it on the table. It's an industrial production. And when they do that, they're looking to lower their costs, increase their product, you know, increase their profit margins like any business. And there were some real changes that happened with salmon. And I remember reading a study showing that, you know, you actually change the types of fats and the fat content in farm-raised versus wild-caught salmon from what we desire in terms of very beneficial from a healthful aspect to maybe not so much. And I think to speak to what you were talking about as the chef putting it out there, you probably saw some changes in the flavor profiles.
Oh, it's a whole different world as it started becoming more processed, and that's all you're able to get. Now, then the conversation started turning to, hey, I want freshwater, or I want salmon that's wild salmon. So I had to think about, now it's a little bit easier. You're closer to that area. I'm here on the East Coast, to think of Alaskan wild salmon or think of Northwestern wild salmon. I'm not going to get that. I'm not going to get the cohos, and I'm not going to get the king salmons on a regular basis at prices that people can afford or when they are in season. I couldn't keep something like that on my menu, which I love salmon as a fish because it's got the oil, it's got the fat, it holds up to a lot of different cooking techniques. I mean, I just love it as a fish. But I was stuck in a little quandary here. So I'm serving this or finding this salmon that doesn't have a ton of flavor. I have to fix it. I have to do something to it. And then I'm not proud of it. So I luckily, at one of the food shows I was doing at one time, and this is going back about 4 or 5 years, I ran into this smaller, at that time was not totally heard of, the small table that said Faroe Island salmon. So I'm saying, what's the difference? Well, it's a farm-raised salmon. The Faroe Islands are a group of islands between Denmark and Iceland where the water is pristine. The culture is all about raising great fish. I mean, their guidelines for raising farm-raised fish are higher than all of the EU put together. So it's not only what their guidelines are, plus that they bring it to the next level. I mean, 90% of their GNP is based on farm-raised fish. 30% of their exports are all farm-raised fish. It's incredible
And I got to tell you, they've got a very intense, they take a lot of pride and a very unique food culture there. And if you can get these guys, since you are like now the unofficial Faroe Island salmon spokesperson, and they should fly you there to visit.
Once you get there, man.
they have this really unique mutton that they do. So what they do, in addition to the aquaculture, there's a history of limited agriculture because it's very mountainous. There's not a lot of trees, as you can imagine, from sort of this very exposed, small group of islands in the middle of the very cold North Atlantic. It's what you think of when you think of literally sort of Vikings again sailing.
Exactly.
And so they've got they've got a sheep, you know, is sort of their animal husbandry that they base it on because you can get the milk and the wool and all this other stuff. And so they use it for food. And what they do is it's very unique because the air is so cold and so dry. They take the mutton and they will actually hang it out there. And the sea air is what cures the mutton. And it cures for almost a year. And it's this very buttery but briny almost, type of fermented meat. And so it's very natural, you know, it breaks down very naturally, and you have to pay a lot of attention so it doesn't spoil. But it's an incredible experience, and the food culture there, I think is one of the top and most unique in the world. So when you get there, you know, you visit as their spokesperson, you'll definitely have to try that. And I think that kind of pride in their food history, their food culture, as you say, is now translating into their food business.
Exactly. And what this is what I look for when I look for food. It's where's the history in it? What is it? What are they doing? How do they care? And if you find that kind of stuff in food, sometimes the simplest thing for us to do is find a great piece of meat, fish, what have you, and help it get to where it wants to be, but stay out of its way at the same time. And that's what I'm hoping I did with the recipe. But I really think, Mike, we should think about this. Might be a great trip for Code Delicious to make out there, and the two of us do a video of this because we would have a lot of fun out there together.
I think so. You're gonna have to talk. You're gonna have to talk to your supplier there and tell them that we've got to go out. Why don't we go ahead and share this recipe? We've kind of given the backstory here a little bit, and we probably got everybody hungry. I know I'm sitting here looking at the picture of this incredibly perfectly grilled salmon, and I feel hopefully people aren't hearing my tummy rumble on the mic here because it's really good. So why don't you go ahead and share how you helped the salmon grow up to be what it wanted to be?
Well, I love Spanish stylings when it comes to food, and one of my favorite sauces is the romesco sauce. And this kind of came about. Romesco sauce traditionally is a touch of cream with roasted tomatoes, roasted peppers. You have almonds in there. You have some spice. That's the basis of a romesco sauce all pureed together, and it's a perfect sauce. It's very simple. So So what I wanted to do, and then I actually did it for my Easter menu of this year for the restaurant, is I wanted it to be a little bit lighter, brighter at the same time. So what we're making today is a grilled Faroe Island salmon with yellow pepper and tomato romesco. So it's yellow peppers and yellow tomatoes, and here's the ingredients. I'm going to give it right now. About four portions, about 1 1/4 pounds of Faroe Island salmon fillet, skin and cut crosswise, teaspoon each of dark chili powder, coriander, and cumin. We're going to use that to coat the salmon or to dry rub the salmon. And then we add some extra virgin olive oil on top of that as well. So we've now coated the salmon with this coriander, chili powder, cumin. We want some flavor. Now we'll make the sauce. 3 yellow tomatoes, half, 10 garlic cloves, good amount of garlic in here, half a cup of roast of toasted almonds, 1 yellow pepper, top off and cut into quarters, half cup of sherry wine vinegar, again, some acid to really bring it all together, 3/4 cups of extra virgin olive oil, a teaspoon of paprika, kosher salt and black pepper, and then we're going to have some couple cups of oil and pepper flakes on the side. We'll talk about that. For our chive or our chili oil, we're going to do around the plate. So I take the tomatoes, the peppers, the garlic, salt, the pepper, the paprika, and we put it on a baking sheet and roast that for 15 to 20 minutes at 450 degrees. I want to get this dark charred roast. I don't want it raw. I want some charness to it. If you want to grill the peppers and the tomatoes, you can do too. You want to roast the garlic. You want to let it go a little bit longer on a lower temp. You can do that as well. I just want to get this nice char to it. I take all of that.
And that's important for folks to know, because what Chef is doing when he's doing that is actually caramelizing the sugars.
Exactly.
And so it's adding a layer of sweetness that's going to go and complement the natural sweetness and kind of highlight that natural sweetness that we find in the salmon.
And it's going to really, yeah, it's perfect. You got this down pat, Mike. This is awesome.
I'm bucking for another trip to the Faroe Island, spokesperson.
I love it. I was about to go in that direction. I was like, no, man, he already said it. So I take this and I transfer it to a food processor, and I roughly break it up, right? We're breaking it all up, getting it all incorporated. We add the vinegar, the sherry vinegar, and the oil. Then we're going to pulse until it's really well combined. And then two things you want to do. Sometimes you could strain this out so it's going to be a little bit looser, or you can leave it somewhat, some of that in there, where it kind of has a little bite to it and a little chunk to it. That's fine. However you want to make your sauce, I like to sift mine through, and it's absolutely beautiful. But at this point, I like to do it the day before, too. It's really important to let the flavors melt. When you first try it, and this is what we've discovered, first try it, the pepper doesn't really come out. It's still there, but it's not really as big as you want it to be. And then the next day, totally changes the flavor. There's something about these type of sauces that are held together. The next day, they're so much better.
It's like anything else, right? You know, it's like you got to go into the party, and you know, nobody knows each other, and there's this little murmur conversation, and you come back a couple hours later when you know they've had a chance to mingle and get to know each other, and you know, some people are laughing, there's a karaoke going on in the corner, and
I like
you know
your party.
So we've got to do the same thing here. And this tip too, folks need to understand, this is great because it doesn't mean you have to come home and spend 4 hours in the kitchen doing everything at once. Right. You know, you can just do something a day or two ahead of time when you got a little bit, and now you've got this wonderful romesco sauce that you can use on the salmon. And hey, if you don't have salmon, the romesco sauce goes with a lot of other things. It's just something great to have laying around. So these are the little tips so you can eat, you know, not only healthfully, but deliciously. 24/7, 365.
And what's great is, like, all three parts that I'm going to give you, besides cooking the salmon, could be done at different points. So we've made our romesco. We've seasoned our salmon that we're going to grill. But now we want to toast some almonds that we could keep in our fridge for a while. And that's just taking the almonds and constantly in a small dry skillet over medium heat. You're going to take them and you're going to toss them for 2 to 4 minutes. Do not leave your almonds while they're toasting. One, you don't need to use oil or any other fat into there. The almonds are just going to natural. Their oils are going to help toast up. They're perfect. They're something you want to keep on the side, and you can use them anytime. And they make great snacks, too. I got to tell you, I snack on them more than anything.
And that's exactly what I was going to say, something like that. I love toasting your own kind of nuts, whether it be macadamia, again, because they have
everything.
The oils, pine nuts, and you can put them out on a little charcuterie plate with some cheeses,
exactly.
You know, some endive, some fresh hummus, and you actually got a meal right there. So as you said, another component that you can make that has all these multiple uses in different things over the course of a week, and by varying the flavor profiles, you're going to get a whole different range of experiences. It's not like, oh, mom, chicken again.
Right, exactly.
You know, you're going to have – people are going to be lining up. Oh, man, I can't wait. What's for dinner, mom?
And one of the things you'll find in any of our recipes here at the restaurant, especially our salads, there are toasted almonds. There are toasted and candied walnuts. There are spiced almonds. I mean, we bring those in. It's not only flavor, it's texture. It brings everything back together, and it's good for you. So the only other thing I have to add – and the only other thing I have to add to that is one of the easiest things to have around, and you know me and my oils, I love to have an oil somewhere of some type of flavor. I think it cuts through some of the other flavors that are there, and it does great, is a chili oil. One of these things that you could have in your refrigerator for up to a month. It's combining the oil and crushed red pepper with 2 cups of olive oil, 4 teaspoons of red pepper flakes, and a heavy small saucepan. Cook over low heat for about 5 minutes. That's all you really need to do is you just want to open up those chili flakes into there, and then you're going to remove it from the heat, cool it to room temperature for another 2 hours, and then just transfer them into a bottle and seal the lid. This is another one of those things that you could keep in your refrigerator with the pepper flakes in, but if you don't want it to continuously get hotter and hotter and hotter, you strain out the pepper flakes, you have this nice red oil after a couple of days, and you're good. But it's for a month in the refrigerator, it's going to work. You're going to use it before then, whether it's finishing oil on a pasta or on a salad or, you know, in this case, it's going to garnish our plate. So I have my Romesco, I have my toasted almonds, I have my chili oil.
And I want to share, because you give a really great piece of advice, as usual. Here again, you know, chili oil, you'll actually usually find it in your mega market or supermarket in with the Oriental foods. And you'll see that it's priced, you know, $5 for this little tiny smidgen of olive oil. And here's the recipe, folks. It'll take you 15 minutes to do, and it'll cost you pennies. Absolutely pennies. So here's a way, again, you know, to have these elements so that you can eat very well. You can eat deliciously. You have this scrumptious food, but you can do it economically. Now, if you want to go out and pay $5 for 2 ounces of chili oil, that's up to you. It's probably got some extra preservatives, and it's not a very high-quality oil to start with because they're flavoring it, so they're not going to use their good stuff. Or you can go out, as Chef just said, use your standard, you know, olive oil that you cook with, some chili flakes that are less than a penny, and, you know, make olive oil till the cows come home.
And, Mike, you hit it on perfectly. I've tasted oils all over the world and all these different flavored oils. None of them compared to making them yourself. So we got a couple of minutes left, but I want to really hit on the grilling the salmon. You're going to coat both sides with the olive oil and then sprinkle with the coriander and chili and the cumin like we talked about, a little salt and pepper. But you're going to grill it, you know, on a medium-high heat, about 3 to 4 minutes per side. I highly recommend, if people haven't done it, do not cook your salmon all the way through. Get it to a medium. I even eat it medium rare. When it's this good, let the salmon, enjoy the salmon for what it is. When you get fresh, good quality fish like this, don't cook it all the way through. Don't dry it up. You're going to absolutely love the way this tastes if you cook it to a medium rare or a medium. If you haven't done it, do it this time.
And the other thing, folks, is a little bit of patience. When you're cooking fish, you don't want to keep flipping it. It's not a steak that you can turn 16 times.
Nope.
So put it on the grill, put your hands in the air, and step back and let it cook and flip it once.
There you go, man. We did it.
This is absolutely a fantastic recipe. And folks, you can get these recipes from Chef, which, you know, belong on Food Network and in the cookbooks. You can get it for free if you head to cardiochef.com, sign up for a newsletter. They're always mailed out ahead of time. You can read the recipe, know what's going on, and really concentrate on what Chef is telling you in terms of the tips. Chef, real quick, where can they go to find information on you?
LucaParis.com, and you get all that information. Follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Tons of pictures, tons of notes, and a lot of cool things coming up in the future, so check in on me.
Thanks again for listening. This is Code Delicious on Radio MD with Dr. Mike.